Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. So this has been some more kind of a full day. I mean, like we've already had like one whole topic that lit up the text lines. I can't even get to all the texts that I've got right now. So hopefully I'll catch up with you guys. Keep them coming. We'll catch up before the show's over. And then on top of that, we just had Brian Taylor in studio. As always, great to see my friend. His big race is really developing quite well. And the elections are Tuesday. And then we got stuff happening right now in Montgomery. And y'all, I'm going to be honest with you. It's happening in like live stream mode. It is happening as we speak. In real time, my friend Eric Johnston, who is been in the trenches fighting for conservative public policy for years, head of the Alabama Pro-Life Coalition, head of the Southeast Law Institute, and he is on the line with us right now to give us some updates. Eric Johnston, how are you doing?
Well, Phil, I'm doing well. I appreciate your show. I appreciate when you were in the Senate and Brian Taylor was in the Senate, y'all were good guys and made it a lot easier than what it is right now. You're right. Things are moving fast and they're very complicated.
Well, listen, I tell you what, you've had a chance today to monitor and even perhaps interact with the issues before the legislative body, and not the least of which is this in vitro fertilization, which you came on the show the like almost immediately the day the ruling came out, and we began to dissect it as best we could together. And since then, the liberal media has grabbed it and made it the cause célèbre, and the legislature today is already passing bills. I get really worried, Eric, when I see what I call knee-jerk legislation. Because I think that, you know, good public policy is formed well into the cold light of day, and yet this feels like one that's being jammed together in a back room. What happened today?
Well, it was put together in a back room, and, you know, it takes a minimum of 3 days to get a bill, you know, through a chamber. And this bill, House and Senate versions, both went through in 3 days. It took a priority. Of course, you know, we talked last week about the court case, that plurality decision that said the unborn child included the frozen egg embryos. So what immediately what happened, it became international. Everybody's concerned about it because this is, to my knowledge and what everyone is saying, and I don't doubt it, it's the first time in history that it's happened. And so it put Alabama's legislature right in the crosshairs of, well, what are you going to do about it? So what they did about it is they did what UAB asked them to do about it. Extremely disappointed in the leadership and in some of the members of the legislature who permitted this to dominate the way it is and in the fashion the way that they did it. And I'll just tell you in shorthand, the first bill that they were going to do basically gave total immunity to hospitals and clinics that did IVF for anything. So they came back and they actually narrowed it down to that wrongful death statute of a minor that the court case dealt with. We had a sunset provision that it would only go to April 1st, 2025 in order to work out good regulations for IVF, but they took the sunset out. So they debated this bill in the House starting in the morning. They got done with it. The Senate bill lasted just a few minutes ago. All day long in the legislature, they debated it. And they basically came out with an immunity. People that were sponsoring and speaking down in the well, they were saying, oh, we're going to get right on it. We're working on it. People are working on it right now. But I don't know about that. I don't trust them. And, you know, like you said, backroom deals moving so fast, it's hard to tell, you know, really what they really will do.
Well, so, Eric, let me ask you. I mean, I'm always curious because I have never seen something that allows any level of immunity to get through what I would call the scrutiny of the Trial Lawyers Association. And there were times when they were helpful, other times when they were just trying to preserve their right to get punitive damages. But I'm hearing the trial lawyers were okay with this immunity piece. And that's when I wonder, okay, where's the rub? What did they do? Why is this thing okay? Your thoughts on that?
It's not really okay, but the trial lawyers, that the first version of the bill was that total immunity that I talked about. The trial lawyers quickly jumped on that, and they at least helped, and probably you'd say led the way on just limiting it only to that wrongful death statute.
Okay.
And the Democrats, surprisingly today, the speeches from them were better than the speeches from the Republicans. They sounded almost pro-life, which I know they get mixed up on pro-life and sanctity of life and abortion and all those issues. And let me say quickly, this is not about abortion.
No.
The Alabama Pro-Life Coalition does not oppose IVF. We think it's a good thing. We've got a lot of members that have had children that way.
Yeah.
It's not regulated at all in Alabama. And so this court case is like a wake-up call. All of a sudden, what's going on? And the biggest question, the main question is, what do you do with the frozen embryos that are not used? Where, you know, how do you deal with that? And that's what's got to be worked out. We don't want to oppose IVF. We want that to keep going, but we got to figure out how to limit it, how to regulate it in a reasonable way.
Well, I totally agree. Listen, I got to ask you about something else, because IVF may have dominated the legislature, but other things were going on nonetheless. And you've been neck deep in the anti-gambling fights. And I guess we ought to be clear. What we're talking about is the corrupt manner in which the bills have been portrayed as being, you know, great, the panacea of all of our needs. And yet, you know, violating almost every principle that Republicans say we stand for in the process. But the gambling bill that came out of the House, it was rushed out of the House, is now in the Senate, appears to have bogged down. It was supposed to come to a hearing yesterday. It didn't. It was supposed to have come to a hearing today, and apparently it didn't. What do you know?
Well, what I know is the gross version of the bill that came out of the House was as corrupt as any. Well, I won't say it's as bad as what Milton McGregor did this last year in the legislature trying to control it, but it was close. It gave immunity to just about every act that the Gambling Commission made their own police force, not subject to courts, do what they want to do. The casinos were doled out to the special interests. That bill went to the Senate, and the Senate, ever since they've got it, apparently has had problems with it, but they really won't tell us what problems they're having with it. And I think a lot of the members don't know. Yesterday, I was in the hearing when it was supposed to come up, public hearing, and on the bill. Well, the meeting started, but for 20 minutes, everyone just sat there. And Roger Smitherman, again, I'm agreeing with the Democrat for a change, he gave a speech and said, what are we doing sitting here? We don't even know what bill is coming. We hadn't read it. Is there a bill? So 20 minutes after the hour, several people come in, and they say, well, you know, in essence, we don't have the bill. We don't have anything. They had the public hearing, which was kind of, you know, almost like Alice in Wonderland. People testified about something. They didn't know what it was. But they were all opponents, including the Porch Indians. They were against it, for whatever
wow.
it is.
Wow.
Well, they rescheduled. They adjourned that meeting. They carried the bill over, the non-existent bill. They scheduled it for 10 this morning, and they had to cancel it again because they weren't in agreement. So whether it's a plain lottery bill, whether it's a bill that's got some other, I've heard, well, it's going to allow the existing places to continue operating, which presumably slot machine operations, or whether it's got casinos, who knows at this point? I don't think the Senate knows. And what's going on in that back room is not very clear. There's probably a few people that know, but they would not, you know, you don't even know who those people are.
Well, I said to somebody last night, it's going to come out. It's going to be the Porch Creeks running a lottery and giving KIV a tribal title and lands.
Cheap ivory and stuff. Well, I tell you, if they do just a straight lottery, that will give the Porch Indians the ability to have a casino, because under the IGRA, the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, lottery is Class 3 gaming, which means the Indians on their tribal lands can have full casinos. So Alabama gets a regular paper lottery. The Indians have three places where they've got full card, roulette wheel, everything kind of casino.
Yeah, it's nuts. People, I remember when I first got down there, I was amazed at the level of nuance in the law regarding gambling. And that's why we found out later on that Milton McGregor's team was actually paying members of the legislative staff to put keywords into the legislation, because the keywords mattered later in a legal battle. Listen, Eric, if you don't mind, we got to take a break. Would you mind hanging on during the break, and we'll come right back and talk to you about other things happening in the legislature? All right.
No, not at all.
Okay, thanks. We're on with Eric Johnston right now. Longtime culture warrior. He's down there fighting the good fight for conservative causes in Montgomery. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so we're right back right now with Eric Johnston, who's held on the line for us. Eric, thank you for taking some extra time. Let me ask you this, Eric, school choice. Okay. You've been down there. What are you hearing about school choice right now? How is it moving? Is it going to happen this year, do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a very good chance. I mean, the governor's got behind it and done a lot of work on it. Fortunately, her office adopted a lot of what we had worked on before the session, trying to include private schools, church schools, home schools. And I think they've done a good job on it. There's been some, I think, difficulty with how to handle the homeschool situation. Right now, there's a little uncertainty about whether the bill covers that adequately. We've always tried to, in working with religious freedom and parents' rights, to protect both the church schools and the homeschoolers. Homeschools are basically unregulated in the state, and the Department of Education has kind of a hands-off attitude. So when you start doing some kind of state regulation to include them, it becomes a little problematical about how do you include them. But I think the bill has got some good possibilities of passing this year. There's not really any opposition to it that's major. Of course, you never know what the teachers' union and the Department of Education may do. But they have not opposed it as greatly this year as they did last year.
Well, I'm anxious to see where it goes. I mean, what I don't want to do is let the quest for the perfect outweigh the ability to gain the good. And there are things about the current version that I understand, you know, moved through the House that I am less enamored with than I was when it first started. I would have loved to have seen last year's Price Act pass, but all that to say, where we are now is sure a far sight better than where it was, you know, last, you know, 2 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's a certain amount of compromise and pragmatism you got to have in the state house. You got, you know, very red, bright lines on some issues like sanctity of life, maybe religious freedom. And, you know, like religious freedom in the education savings account, which is the basis for how you do the school choice, is important. And, you know, if you don't maintain your religious freedom, then you don't do it. But, you know, that's been worked in. We've got those components in there. But, you know, it's not ideal because you got a lot of big forces operating on this, and education has been dominated for, you know, decades by public authorities. And we've had home schools, and, well, they started in the probably late 80s, 90s, they got really going. Church schools started in the early 80s, and they've become major opportunities for parents to have, but they're quite expensive sometimes. So school choice and the concept of the education savings account is very good to help parents get their non-public education opportunities.
Well, I would agree with that. And we've got people even here at Right Side that have homeschool kids that would love to see something in place. Hey, listen, before I let you go, I want to return real quickly to the IVF question. I had one thing that I forgot to bring up earlier. You mentioned that they're trying to make this a fight. The left's trying to make this a fight about abortion. It's not. But I did see that House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels, he did have a bill that, in my opinion, would have unraveled some of the law regarding what is life under Alabama law. And in your opinion, we're not looking at, I mean, right now it appears they have dealt solely with the question of immunity from litigation, or at least from punitive damages. But we didn't do anything to dismantle the fight that we've had for 45 years in the wake of Roe, did we?
Oh, no, not at all. And that's our main concern. And, you know, as I said earlier, the Democrats spoke very well today. But they would be for amending the constitutional amendment about the unborn to put in some exceptions. I mean, that would be where they would go on abortion. And I think we've tried to tell everyone we're for IVF. We need to regulate it. But this is not about abortion, and we're not going to get into abortion. But, you know, the national media and those kind of interests are trying to make it about abortion.
Well, Eric Johnston, thanks for your years in the fight. Thanks always, too, for being a friend of the show. We'll have you back on again sometime soon. But in the meantime, we'll just keep our eyes peeled on what's going on in Montgomery.
Great. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate you. Yeah, by the way, if you want to... If you want to talk about somebody who's, I actually gave, when I was at the Alabama Policy Institute, I actually gave Eric Johnston an award. We call it the Policy Warrior Award. It's an awesome presentation, but I was proud to give Eric Johnston an award for his years of service to the state, fighting for conservative values, sometimes standing on his own if he had to fight for conservative values. What a great guy. So listen, we're going to be hitting the break here in a moment, and I'll be catching up on emails or text messages from you. I got to tell you, there's a few other things that are in the news regarding what I'm calling knee jerks and dice rollers. And I found this one to be fascinating. So the whole thing about, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion, we've got a bill in the legislature right now. And this is not a knee-jerk bill. I'll be honest, this is a good one. This particular bill, Senate Bill 129, is often referred to as the divisive concepts bill. Well, you know, of course, liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin of Birmingham, he doesn't like it. He's gonna encourage athletes to leave the state of Alabama and the University of Alabama. Students at UAH yesterday decided to hold a protest. Story here on WHNT says several schools in the state of Alabama saw students walk out in protest on Wednesday over a Senate bill that would ban public funding for equity and inclusion initiatives. One of those schools was the University of Alabama at Huntsville. UAH students were protesting and holding signs asking lawmakers to kill Senate Bill 129. One organizer says, "I want our senator in Huntsville to support this bill to know we do not support this bill whatsoever." Okay. Well, I think walking out of your class was probably not really very helpful. Maybe you want to go to Montgomery and actually talk to people. I'm just going to point out that holding a separate protest where no one sees you and it doesn't impact the process is going to be limited in its effect, just if you know what I'm saying. And then the last one. Y'all, listen. Birmingham Southern College. How many times have we talked about this? Birmingham Southern College wants a tens of millions of taxpayer dollar bailout. They have so screwed up their finances. And I'll be honest, I'm bothered by the fact that not only did we pass something last year that allows them to get a quote-unquote loan from the state of Alabama, but this year there's an effort to amend it and make it so that, you know, it's just going to have to happen. There's no qualification. There's no vetting. There's no fiduciary responsibility to the state. No. We're just going to give you the money if you ask. Several members of Senate Finance and Taxation Education Committee expressed their concerns about language that effectively required the state to give loans like this. Senator Arthur Orr said, "If this bill passes, we're going to have trouble distinguishing from future colleges that may come in within a financial distress situation." That bill doesn't need to pass. That's a knee-jerk bill. That is a knee-jerk bill. All right, folks, knee-jerks and dice rollers, big doings in Montgomery. We'll come right back and catch up on some text messages and more. Phil Williams, Outside Radio. Y'all stay tuned.